Recording in progress.
Yeah, we returned to the record after a short morning break so examiner could review pre-hearing motions filed by the parties. First, there was a email request. I don't remember which party it was submitted from on behalf of the parties requesting more time. This time there is no time on the calendar to add to hearing, so we just need to see how we do with these 6 days. The 2 days following this hearing are already booked on our schedule, and then I'm out of the office through mid-July. So let's see how we do, and if we need more time, well, let's hope we don't, and try to address that when it arises. I'm going to move on to the motion. Some of these I will require some oral argument on. Some I'm just going to issue a ruling so that we can have those addressed. Many of the requests to eliminate exhibits at this point are premature, as I don't know if they'll even be used or how, so that really should be saved for objection. In addition, most of the objections are based on the evidence rules, which in this forum are not strictly followed. As indicated in Hearing Examiner Rule 318, it's in passing upon the admissibility of evidence the examiner may consider, but shall not be bound to follow the Washington State Rules of Evidence. One obvious example is in 318A, hearsay is allowed, and so objections and motions to eliminate on that basis will be denied. I'll start with the appellant Baja Concrete USA Corp's pre-hearing motions. They had six requests. I will do them in order as they are identified on the motion, pages 1 and 2. The first request is to exclude city exhibits 43, 44, 45. That is denied. Second request is to exclude New Way Forming Inc.'s exhibit numbers 14, 15, 16, and 17. That is denied. Item 3, request to exclude city exhibit number 81. That is denied. Item 4, motion to exclude city's exhibit number 92 is denied. Item 5, the contention is that in an exhibit for case number LS21004, appellant Antonio Machado, exhibit number 22, it should be excluded for purposes of discussion of settlement. I will grant the motion with regard to exclusion for purposes of settlement. If there are other purposes and possible use of that exhibit for redaction, because it has already been identified in an exhibit list, appellant Machado may seek to introduce that later at that time. During the time when it's necessary to introduce that, but for purposes of settlement, it's not relevant to this hearing and should be excluded. Item number 6, seeking exclusion for unsigned witness statements. Again, this is, I get it, they're hearsay, but that's allowed in this forum, so that motion is denied. Moving on to the City of Seattle's motion in limine. Most of these are, several of them are sort of broad-based requests, and so I may grant or deny, but when they're broad-based, there can be exceptions to these, to rulings on broad rulings, and so we may see that. For example, in the city has raised 4 items on their motion in limine. On pages 1 to 2, item A seeks to exclude information regarding arrest, conviction, or criminal history from any city witnesses. That motion is granted as being irrelevant information for purposes of this hearing. Item B on page 2, the city moves to exclude witnesses from the courtroom. I'll come back to that. Item C, city moves for disclosure of character evidence from the city's witnesses that appellants may seek to introduce. That is denied. It's far too broad and too early to say what we'd be trying to exclude. Last item is item G. City moves to exclude evidence from any of the city witnesses' immigration status. That item is granted. Immigration status is irrelevant as far as this forum. Ms. Sylvester, coming back to your item B, moving to exclude all witnesses from the courtroom, I need to hear your proposal for that. I will say up front, this is an open public meeting, and I am not in a position really to police. Our door is open, people can walk in here, people can come into Zoom. Unless there's some practical means of guiding that, I don't want to issue an order for something that can't even be implemented.
Yes, I believe that if the court granted the city's motion, then the parties would be required to inform their witnesses that they may not hear the testimony of other witnesses. And so that would be how the city believes the court can implement this ruling.
And can you explain the necessity for that? It's an uncommon request in this forum. Again, it's a open forum. So without any proof that there's an issue, it's just a general request without any basis at this time.
The basis is the usual reason for requesting exclusion of witnesses is so witnesses can't hear other witnesses' testimony before they testify, and that their testimony is based on their own personal knowledge and not based on something that they heard in the courtroom. In addition, the city would is asking for this based on previous issues with possible intimidation, and so the city is hoping that excluding witnesses from the courtroom will eliminate that.
Can you address that by calling witnesses in a particular order, that, for example, someone who would be intimidating somebody is not called first?
Well, yes, they wouldn't be the city's witnesses intimidating each other. It's the city's concern that other witnesses on the party's witness list could perhaps intimidate the city's witnesses.
But the city's witnesses are going first.
Correct.
All right. I'm going to deny the request now. If it becomes an issue during the hearing, please raise it again as a matter. But at this point, it really is an open forum, and it would be difficult to control or police that. And I don't want to create a line for people that they're just going to get invited to have a problem with. But again, if it becomes an issue during the hearing, there's evidence of witness tampering or something along those lines, then raise it again at that time. But in its current form, the motion is denied. I'll turn next to Appellant Machado's motions in limine. They address six issues to the hearing examiner in a 7-page motion document. On page 1, item 1 is a motion for a pre-hearing finding that Mr. Machado was not a joint employer as a matter of law. This motion is out of order. There was an opportunity to file pre-hearing motions, dispositive pre-hearing motions that was set by calendar for the parties. Filing this at the outset of the hearing in writing is not appropriate for that purpose, and for under that reasoning, that motion is denied. At this time, there's nothing precluded. The second item is a motion for an order that Mr. Machado be allowed to observe the entire hearing. At this point, there's nothing precluding him, so I will not dismiss it for lack of being needed to be raised at this time. If anyone's being excluded later, we can address that. Third item on page 2, motion for an order declaring that the city may not rely on information OLS did not possess as of a specific date. This item is denied. Please raise that in objection to specific exhibits as they arise. Next item is item 4 on page 3 of the motion document, motion to exclude after acquired evidence. Same ruling, same reasoning. Item 5, motion to limit the testimony of certain of the city's proposed witnesses, also denied. Again, it's too premature to raise these in objections during the hearing. The last item is item 6, page 4, motioning for an order declaring that none of the workers identified as city witnesses are or were city clients. Thus, no attorney-client privilege applies protecting communication between those workers and the city witnesses. Is this, I guess my question for the city, is the city asserting that?
No, the city is not asserting attorney-client privilege for conversations between the city's witnesses. We are, however, claiming that some of the information that we gather during the subsequent investigation is protected based on a confidential informant privilege.
All right. So, Mr. McKenzie, I don't see that the city is asking for that privilege. You can address your objection with regard to whether the city can exclude items based on the privilege that Ms. Sylvester has identified at that time. Is there anything else that needs to be addressed by that motion in particular? Is that what you were trying to get at?
Yes, Your Honor. We're not interested in the confidential information like the addresses. We just want to be able to ask the witnesses what they talked to the city attorneys about the site.
Okay.
Like that's not going to be an issue.
All right, or if it is, we can address that when it comes up. Very good. Lastly, we have Appellant Newway has filed a motion to exclude evidence. Newway identifies 4 items that it has identified as attorney-client privilege. Based on the motion, I'm not able to make a ruling on these, and so I will require oral argument. And I would ask that the movement, Ms. Wolf, if you could be prepared to post these so that I can see what they are. I don't even know I've got volumes of notebooks here that I did not take the time to go through and identify each one of these. So we need to go through each one, and you need to identify how it's a privilege. So we'll start with item A, exhibit 82, is identified as privileged.
Yes, Your Honor, I will pull that up. Your Honor, what is up here is the city's proposed exhibit 82. It's an email from Quinn Grant of New Way Forming to Tom Grant, Popping Cell, Giacomoso. These are all New Way employees. Subject Baja Concrete USA. The second sentence says, I just talked to the lawyer. We have 2 options as he sees it. The options below are obviously attorney-client privilege communications and lawyer advice that was given to New Way.
Okay.
I should also note that the city did not, we moved to exclude these exhibits, and the city in their office did not file an opposition to that motion.
Thank you for that. That may save us some time.
Yeah.
City, Ms. Sylvester, I'm assuming until you tell me otherwise, that you are the one that I should be addressing. Ms. Bridgens also appeared, and I see Ms. Williams joined us as well. So you all let me know when I'm to address someone else, but I'm coming to you first.
Yes, that's fine. Thank you. And we'll let you know.
Okay.
We didn't file an opposition, but that doesn't mean that we agree. We just didn't file anything and expected oral argument on this.
Okay. These were filed at the end of the week last night, last week I will allow that. Typically the rules do allow granting of a motion where there's no response, assuming that the other party agrees, but they, that also allows for a 7-day response time. Ms. Sylvester?
Yes, this communication is not between an attorney and a client. This is between Baja employees, none of whom are attorneys, and they're discussing their options as to what they're going to do about this particular case. So this is not attorney-client privilege information or conversation.
All right, Ms. Wolf, is what number one and number two, are those pasted language from the attorney, or is the, it looks like
well, so plain Quinn language. Grant is a female. She's saying, I talked to the lawyer. We have two options as he sees it. Obviously, she's discussing communications that were made between her and the male attorney at the time. And this is internal with Neway.
Right, and
it's also, I would bring up, it's also talking about like settlement with the city, you know, after the investigation.
Okay. And yeah. Number one and number two, is that Ms. Grant's language?
I believe it's Ms. Grant's language. Just from the email, it appears to be that a communication where she's summarizing what the attorney said the options were in the way.
And what, all right, Ms. Sylvester, what's the purpose of this being used by the city?
The purpose is to talk about what the fact that Neway planned to, I guess, try to take care of what was going on. And then if you see from the language in paragraph one, she's talking about her concerns. That's not based on lawyer advice. I mean, that's not lawyer advice. That's not attorney-client privilege when she's privileged when she's talking about what her concerns are. And she's talking to non-lawyer, other individuals at Neway. So the purpose is to show the court what Neway plans to do about this whole situation.
All right. The motion will be denied as to exclusion for privilege, as this is not an attorney communication with the client. Any other purpose that it should be excluded should be raised by objection at the time it's used. Exhibit 91.
Okay, here's Exhibit 91. This is an email from Dan DeLue, who was Neway's previous attorney. This is from Quinn Grant of Neway, copying Inga Shigatani, who also appears to be at Dan DeLue, the law firm. It's an email thread, and obviously it's a response to the city's request for information, but it contains handwritten notes from Quinn Grant to her attorney. I'm summarizing the responses.
Ms. Sylvester?
Your Honor, we didn't see it that way. We saw it as Mr. DeLue sent questions to Ms. Fuller Grant that were from OLS, and Ms. Fuller Grant wrote her responses in what they were going to tell, what Neway was going to tell OLS. This doesn't indicate in any way that the handwriting was directed to Mr. DeLue. It appears to the city that the handwriting is addressed to how Neway is going to respond to OLS's question.
All right.
So that's why the city is seeking to admit this one.
Okay. Exhibit 91 will not be admitted for purposes under the privilege of attorney-client communication. Certainly they were talking about city questions and what how they may answer those, but it was certainly a conversation between the attorney and client. Exhibit 91 will be excluded. Exhibit 132.
if I can. Okay, so here's an email from Doug Oles, oles@oles.com, which is our law firm, to Tom Grant and Sal Giantimoso, talking about ONI COVID site safety plan. And this is an email between the attorney and our client.
Ms. Sylvester?
Yes, I believe that this also talks about how do they plan to address the issues in this case, and the entire email is not attorney-client privilege, only some of the conversations between the attorney and, or from the attorney.
Can you scroll back to the top, Ms. Wolf?
Yes.
All right. I'd see that there could be other parts of conversations. I recognize that you can have a stream of emails, for example, and or texts that are between other parties that are not an attorney. I will be conservative, however, in my view of the privilege, where an attorney sends a stream to others. That's an attorney-client privilege, whatever purposes that the communication's made. There may be other things embedded in it, discussions about other people or with other people, but that's still part of the conversation between the attorney and the client. Those items need to come in through some other source than via the attorney's email. Exhibit 132 is excluded. Exhibits 135, well, let's go to 135 first.
Again, this appears just to be the end of that same email that we looked at just two exhibits ago. It's the email from Quinn Grant of New Ways, Dan DeLue, a previous attorney, copying Inga Shigatani, also at DeLue's law firm. Quinn is saying, here are answers, and then discusses a little bit more. But if you scroll down below, it's that same email thread we just addressed in the exhibit, two exhibits ago. I can scroll down if you'd like.
No, I'm mostly concerned with these about who the conversation is between. Earlier, So Ms. Grant is, please explain again who Ms. Grant is.
Ms. Grant is the senior manager at New Way Forming. Dan DeLue is the previous attorney before she hired our law firm, Olds Morrison Rinker Baker. And Inga Shigatani is, I believe, an assistant or paralegal, but she's also at Mr. DeLue's office.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Sylvester?
I'm getting the same response that I gave earlier in that this is not a privileged conversation with Chloe Grant. Has included in the Chigatani. She's answering questions that OLS asked of them. So we don't believe this conversation is privileged because we're just providing answers to OLS questions.
Okay. And again, Ms. Wolf, I'm sorry, we'll start getting all the names down in here. Probably won't see these again, though. Ms. Shigatani is who within New Way and or Mr. DeLue's firm?
Right here. She's with Mr. DeLue's firm. She's an assistant or a paralegal. You can see right here her email, inga.d3law.com.
Okay. She's an assistant, so for administrative purposes, it's been in there. I won't consider that as breaching the privilege. Exhibit 135 is excluded. 136.
This again appears to be the same exhibit as three exhibits ago. It's an email again from Quinn Grant, from Dan DeLue to Quinn Grant copying Inga Shigatani with Ms. Grant's handwritten responses.
Okay. And Ms. Sylvester, is there something different or new that you wish to argue about this one?
Nothing new other than well, it's not new, but nothing new. I just want to reiterate that her handwritten responses are answers to OLS questions. It's not privilege because they're answering questions from Darren Williams, who's with OLS.
Understood. Given that she's answering those for her attorney, with her attorney, they may have changed or be different answers than she would actually give to OLS. 136 is excluded. With that, we've addressed all of the pre-hearing motions by the parties. I invite you all to keep track of those rulings. I'll do my best throughout the hearing as well. Our next action item is, does any party wish to make an short opening statement? Please no more than 2 to 3 minutes.
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, we'll start with the city.
Thank you. Baja Concrete USA, New Way Forming Incorporated, and Antonio Machado all acted as joint employers from February 2018 to August 2020. As such, they are jointly liable for all the wage theft, minimum wage, paid sick and state time, and record violations found by the director of the Seattle Office of Labor Standards. Because of the remedial nature of wage and hour laws and the broad definition of employer, a court should evaluate whether the totality of the circumstances demonstrate the economic reality that multiple employers had control over the economic or day-to-day activities of a worker's employment. Liability exists where the totality of the circumstances demonstrate that an employer had the power to hire and terminate employees, controlled employees' schedules or work conditions, determine the rate and method of payment, and if the worker's services were an integral part of the alleged employer's business. No one factor is dispositive. The city will prove by a preponderance of the evidence that the totality of the circumstances show Baja, New Way, and Mr. Machado all had significant control over the economic and day-to-day aspect of workers' employment and should be found to be joint employers. After the court finds that appellants are joint employers, the city will show the following violations of the Seattle Municipal Code. Violation of the Seattle Municipal Code 1420 for failing to pay overtime, SMC 1419 for failing to pay proper minimum wage, violations of SMC 1420 for failing to pay workers for all hours worked, for 1420 for failing to pay all compensation owed, SMC 1420 for failing to provide required meal and rest breaks, 1416 for failing to provide the proper notice of rights, 1416 for failing to provide workers with written paid sick and safe time policy, and SMC 1416 for failing to provide proper paid sick and safe time accrual, violations of 1416 for failing to provide a proper written notification of updated amounts of accrued paid sick and safe time, violations of 1416 for failing to allow workers to use paid sick and safe time, violations of 1416, 1419, and 1420 for failing to display the proper poster in English or in the worker's primary language, violations of 1416, 19, and 20 for failing to retain the payroll records for 3 years, violations of 1420 for failing to provide written notice of employment information at the time of hire, violations of 1420 for failing to provide written notice of all hours worked, and violations of SMC 1420 for willfully hindering the investigation of OLS. The city will show through the city's witnesses and records provided by Baja, New Way, and Machado that the employers violated each one of the SMCs noted. Through the witnesses from OLS, the city will show that the director did not abuse discretion in calculating back wages, interest, liquidated damages, and civil penalties, especially given how egregious and pervasive the violations were in this particular case. After all the evidence, the city will ask you to find, by a preponderance of the evidence, that each employer is jointly liable for the total amount of back wages, liquidated damages, and civil penalties, and fines assessed by OLS in the amount of $2,550,204.10 plus interest since the time that the director issued the order. Thank you.
Thank you. LS-21-002.
Your Honor, may I request 5 minutes? Ms. Sylvester was used 5 minutes for her opening. Could I request 5 minutes?
Well, she also has three of you to respond to, and I've heard the facts of this case quite a bit, so my intent was try to not do 5 minutes each, which is another 20 minutes of hearing that we're doing opening statements. If you could try to trim it down, it'd be appreciated.
Thank you. So Baja Concrete, our client here, did only one thing in relation to these workers, and that was they processed payroll. They were not a joint employer. In the determination and so-called final order issued by the OLS, they boldly say there could be no question that Baja was an employer, and then they proceed to spend about 15 pages explaining why all these other individuals and entities were the employer and say nothing about Baja. The witnesses, even the ones that the city's going to call, are going to testify that hiring and firing, one of these was done by primarily Mr. Contreras, who is not connected in any way to Baja Concrete. Mr. Contreras and or Mr. Machado and their new way, they set the working hours, they determined when break times would be taken, lunches and breaks, they directed work activities, they determined the work locations, and they supervised the work. Baja Concrete did none of those things. Workers themselves, they're going to testify in this hearing that Mr. Contreras hired them and set their wages. Mr. Contreras told them where to work and what time to go to work. That they will testify that Baja had no presence at the work sites. And someone from New Way, Mrs. Grant, she's a Boulder Grant, is going to also testify that Baja had no presence at the work sites. No office, no desk, no nothing. No supervisors. Mr. Contreras may have supervised at time, but he was, again, not connected to Baja. In a 30B6 deposition of New Way forming, Ms. Quinn Boulder Grant testified that when it came time to figure out the payroll issues, Mr. Contreras and Mr. Grant of New Way would review all time cards each week, or maybe every other week. And Mr. Contreras would then prepare payroll hours summaries and provide them to Baja Concrete, and Baja then process the payroll. Ms. Quinn Grant testified that New Way leads or foreman would direct the workers, that the workers signed in on certain sign-in sheets as New Way employees, which the city now wants to claim were Baja employees. That New Way would decide when additional hours would be required or available to workers. She will testify that Baja had no equipment on the work site. Not going to go through the 13 factors to determine joint employment, but of the 13 developed in case law, Baja satisfies at most two. And as far as cooperation, Ms. Mercedes, was sort of appointed, she owns and operates Mercedes Accounting, which ran the payroll for Baja Concrete. She did cooperate with the city. The evidence is in the record. It'll be presented that she did provide responses to the OLS questions. She had an email dialogue going on with Darren Williams of the OLS. So my client did cooperate with the investigation. So there's no justification. Again, in addition to that, as far as I know, for all of these parties, this is the first ever wage claim. So the fact that it's the first ever wage claim, and the fact that at least my client did cooperate with the investigation, there's no justification for the, say, excessive fines and liquidated damages that the city, at their discretion, decided to impose. We also will present evidence in the form of pay stubs that shows that all the workers were paid everything they were entitled to. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Larkin. Ms. Wolf?
Yes, just briefly, Your Honor. Simply put, Newey was not a joint employer of the subject workers. The evidence presented will show that the employees were, are the subject of the city's wage action are actually Baja's employees and are directed by Baja's superintendent, Roberto Soto Contreras. What the city will argue is that Newey exercised control over the subject workers enough so that it became a joint employer. However, the testimony and evidence will demonstrate the relationship between Newey and Baja was nothing more than a typical contractor-subcontractor relationship. Listening to the testimony and examining the evidence, it's important to keep in mind that Washington courts continually recognize that there is substantial value in allowing contractors to outsource the work, which is exactly what Newey did here. What the city has done in this investigation and the resulting determination is spun the evidence to make it appear that Newey was a joint employer, when in reality, this is just a typical independent contractor relationship. The city never once throughout its investigation visited any of the construction sites that are issuing this matter. If it would have done so, it could have witnessed firsthand how construction sites operate. Finally, with regards to the excessive fines issued by the city, the evidence will show that Newey complied with the OLS investigation to the best of its ability. It responded to the request for information. It participated in the interview of a single employee that the city requested to interview. However, Newey did not employ the workers, so obviously did not have access to all the employment records, and therefore it makes it very difficult to contest that Baja not, wasn't paying its workers proper wages. Newey simply does not have that knowledge. Despite Newey cooperating with the investigation and never being subject to wage violation in the past, the city still decided to arbitrarily assess the maximum liquidated damages in this case, accounting for about half of the enormous fine that the city assessed. Newey respectfully requests that the hearing examiner carefully look at the evidence and testimony when determining whether Newey is a joint employer. The city's arguments boil down to a standard general contractor-subcontractor relationship, and the city still has not distinguished how the independent contractual relationship between Newey and Baja crossed that line. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. McKenzie.
Thank you, Your Honor. OLS was required to conduct its investigation in an objective and impartial manner. So, particularly with respect to its investigation into Antonio Machado. For example, OLS relied heavily on Mr. Machado's own statements to find that Newey set the hours of work through its foreman rather than buying through Mr. Machado itself. Then OLS turned around and determined that Mr. Machado himself set the hours, therefore he was a joint employer, seemingly oblivious to the obvious contradiction. OLS did not find that Mr. Machado had the power to determine the pay rates and methods of payment for the workers, nor did it find that he was involved in any way with the preparation of payroll or the payment of wages, nor did OLS find that the workers performed a service integral to Mr. Machado's business since he didn't have his own business, nor did it find that the workers used Mr. Machado's premises or his tools. OLS found that Mr. Machado was a joint employer primarily because he supervised the workers indirectly through the Newey foreman and Mr. Contreras. But that was his job. He was the general foreman of the site. To the extent that Mr. Machado supervised the workers indirectly, he did so at the behest of and for the benefit of his employer, Newey foreman. A large percentage of the damages that OLS assessed were due to Baja Concrete's failure to cooperate with the investigation and to keep payroll records. Because Baja couldn't produce pay stubs, OLS assumed that certain workers hadn't been paid at all. And OLS essentially tripled the penalty by assessing the full amount of liquidated damages, again, primarily due to Baja's lack of adequate record keeping and lack of cooperation. Mr. Machado, though, cooperated fully. Indeed, Mr. Williams, the OLS investigator, described him as very forthcoming. Mr. Machado didn't have the missing pay stubs and failed to produce them. He had nothing to do at all with the pay or the record keeping. The fact that Mr. Machado was on the hook for Baja's failings is a manifest injustice and it needs to be corrected. Essentially, OLS has taken the position that every person acting in the interest of his employer in relation to an employee, including general foremen who have nothing at all to do with payroll, must retain the payroll records and those documents themselves for 3 years, or else they're presumed to have violated the wage theft statute. This position strains the language of the ordinance to its absolute limit. In fact, it strains credulity. OLS says it follows court-created law in determining whether multiple entities jointly employ employers. But under both federal and state law, courts must be extremely wary and guard against an overexpansive application of the principle of joint employment to managers or agents of a company who exercise some control of the work, but who are not officers of the company and do not control the purse strings. Finding that any manager or agent of a company can be responsible for a wage theft violation, regardless of whether they had anything to do with it, is untenable, according to the court-created law that OLS claims it follows. What OLS has done is turn respondeat superior on its head. Mr. Machado was doing his job. He wasn't an officer of the company. He wasn't responsible for the company's failure to pay wages or overtime. But because the company failed to pay wages or overtime, Mr. Machado, the person who was acting in his employer's interest in relation to the employees, who's technically can be considered an employer of the code, is on the hook for over $2 million. It seems that OLS wants to punish Mr. Machado. They suspect him of some kind of wrongdoing. But suspecting of wrongdoing is different than proving that he did something wrong. Looking at the circumstances, the whole activity, Mr. Machado was not a joint employer. He was an employee in the way for him. OLS did not evaluate all the facts in this particular case objectively. Figured out a way to hang joint and several liability on Tony Machado because it couldn't find an interview of Roberto Contreras. And because that's what it wanted to do. That's not neutrality. That's not a fair and objective application of the economic reality statute.
Thank you. Thank you, counsel. Start transitioning now. One question I have, a remaining procedural question, for Machado, LS-21-004, were hard copies for the examiner filed?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Well, I should ask, hard copies of what, the exhibits?
Yes, hard copies of exhibits.
I think we filed them through the portal by email.
No, the exhibits cannot be filed through the portal. You may have filed them electronically with my assistant, but the pre-hearing order requested hard copies, working copies for the examiner. You can, these that I have here from the other parties. I didn't have any from you, and I did have for the other parties. I can likely function without them. You will almost certainly want to use screen share, since I do not have a hard copy here. But just note that that's a deficit right now for your case if you wanted me to have hard copies. It is not, these are purely for the examiner's purpose during the hearing. Many of them I will not touch because they're not, as you all know, once you get into a hearing, some of these more exhibits become more relevant than others. Ones that are of high interest I often mark up, and that's really the purpose of them. So if you feel like you need me to have those, you can still get them in at some point if you want to send them in. If you elect just to use screen share, that's fine. The hearing can still function, and I believe I can as well. I have them all electronically available.
Thank you for the opportunity. I apologize for the oversight.
Any other procedural items we need to address before we turn to the city's case?
Your Honor, we all had a discussion a while back, the council did, about when we conclude, or when the hearing is concluded, that we would all like to submit closing arguments in written form. Is that acceptable?
Yes, Mr. Larkin, thank you. I thought of that while you were all giving your opening, since I know you all won't be arguing again until that time, to let you know that that is my preferred method. And that hopefully will also gain us some time at the end for you all to use that simply for witness testimony as the hearing. And so I would expect written closing. We'll talk about a schedule for that. I assume in this case, given the briefing that I've received, that we will have a opening, as it were, and an opportunity for response. I will set a schedule with you all for that at the end of the hearing. But yes, closing argument will be in writing, so do not expect that burden at the end of the hearing.
Thank you
for asking. Any other procedural items we need to address before we turn to the city? All right, very good. First, I would like to ask the city if Ms. Sylvester, you can, what I'm going to do is just ask you to identify your witnesses, what you think they're going to be addressing, just so I have a sense of how you'll be presenting today. And once I have that, we're going to take a break. I will ask you to repeat the, since when we come back on break, we'll ask the interpreters to be on, ready to go with those first set of witnesses. And so I will ask you to repeat at the time when we come back from break the names of those first witnesses that you'll be using for the interpreter. But for now, if you could just give me an outline of how you anticipate proceeding, it would be much appreciated.
Absolutely. We're feeling pretty ambitious today. We plan on calling four employees, Jonathan Parapons, Matias.
You can spell the last name if you like. It might be easier for me. Catalan, maybe?
Yes, thank you. Matias Catalan will be next.
And I'm sorry, what was the first one? Last name? Para.
Para Ponce.
Okay.
P-O-N-E-E.
Okay.
And then Matias Catalan.
Yes.
And then Hector Cisneros Rivera. And then Claudio.
I'm sorry, what was the first part of the hyphenated name? I got Rivera.
Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor. Cisneros, C-E-S-E-E-D.
Yes. Cespedes, all right. And the next one?
And then Claudio Gamboa, G-A-M-B-O-A.
Okay. These are the four witnesses you anticipate trying to call today, and these will be the ones that you need interpreters for?
Correct.
All right. For the city's case in chief, once you complete with these witnesses, can you give me a sense of what other witnesses will follow?
Just in general or today?
The rest of your case, just so I have an outline of where we're going.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you know that, if you don't know that at a time.
I do.
Okay.
I do know it.
All right.
So, the next set of witnesses would be Angel Gomez Chavez. We're expecting him tomorrow. And then Patricio Fernandez Orquez, F-E-R-N-A-N-D-E-Z. And then V-O-R-Q-U-E-Z. Then Jose Acosta Caballero, and then John Diaz, or John. And Estrosa Diaz, scheduled for tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, we're expecting Raul Pio Martinez, Luis Arriagada Aguilera, and then Jose Estrada Parra. There was some discussion about calling Claudia Pinaneri at this point, but I'm not sure if Baja still intends to do that.
Okay.
So there's a space there for her if all right. needed.
May I respond? Sorry. Regarding Claudia?
Sure.
So Claudia is not available this week. She's available next week. So she's not available to testify this week.
Okay. And Ms. Sylvester, is that a city witness?
No, that was to allow her to testify while the interpreters.
Got it. So we just need the interpreters to come back for Ms. Pininieri next week, and I'll assume we'll get to that in scheduling with the hearing later this week.
And then our last day presenting witnesses would be on Thursday with Ms. Forla Grant first, Mr. Machado second, Katie Jo Keppinger from OLS next, Ashley Harrison after that, and then Darren Williams.
All right. You've identified an outline of the days you intend to call individuals. If you get through them faster than you anticipate, do you have witnesses to fill in so that we use our full time?
Yes.
Excellent. And for those that are identified for today, the other parties, are all four of those witnesses that you identified that you would be calling on direct? Or if
yes.
So, who, okay, so they all of the other parties identified the four witnesses you have today as their witnesses as well?
Oh, no, not all of them are subpoenaed by the other parties.
Right. And you don't even have to figure that out for me. I was asking them.
Oh, okay.
But if you want to figure that out for me, you may. But I need opposing counsel to tell me of these whom they called on, that just so I know who's going to be on direct with these witnesses. The first one, Parapanse, who's on direct? Just raise your hand. I'll see you. Okay. Got Ms. Wolf and Mr. Larkin. Matias Catalan, who's on direct? Raise your hand. Mr. Larkin. And Ms. Wolf. Okay. Mr. Rivera. Hector. Again, raise your hand if he's on direct with you. All right, seeing none, it's just the city's witness. Claudio Gamba. And I apologize if my notes were off in this. I was trying to do it quickly, and I didn't have the names in front of me. Anyone else on direct for the city's fourth witness today? City's witness only. Okay. All right, I have a good sense of where we're headed with these. I appreciate the city kind of organizing this. We will attempt to use the interpreters and their time wisely. We will take a break and return, let's say, at 10 after the hour. It is now 10:53, so we'll return at 11:10. And at that time, the city will start with its first witness. We'll restate the list of the four witnesses today so they know what order they're in, and those are being communicated in Spanish, as the interpreters will also be, just this is your alert, interpreters, you will be on when we return at 11:10. Thank you.